You may recall after Hurricane Sandy that many people walked for blocks or miles just to get internet service. During that storm, a quarter of the cell phone towers in the path of it went out of service, a frustrating and potentially dangerous experience for those customers without a landline. Reporter Tracy Samuelson looks at efforts to improve the performance of cell networks during natural disasters.
Lori McCaskill lives in Brooklyn, and when Sandy hit, her Verizon cell service went out. She couldn't work, couldn't check in on family and friends, and her sister was due to have a baby any day.
I realized, oh, if there's actually an emergency, I don't know if a call will get through.
In the nearby city of Long Beach, Long Island, all the cell phone towers went down during Sandy. City manager Jack Schneerman described the experience at a recent FCC hearing on how cell networks held up or didn't during the storm.
There was one woman particularly who passed away of natural causes, an elderly woman. And her daughter had to walk literally a mile and a half from her home to police headquarters just to say, listen, my mom has passed, and I thought I should tell somebody.
To prepare for the next disaster, Schneerman wants better access to cells on wheels, called COWs. They're cell towers that can be moved from place to place. He wants backup power, like generators at cell towers. And he wants better access to the cell providers themselves. He said he didn't even know who to call during Sandy.
The city's IT department flagged a Verizon tech off the street to help us find out who in Verizon could help. We needed to get somebody to come and help us.
One of the problems is that cell companies, unlike power companies, are not required to tell the public where their networks are down or how many customers are affected. Susan Crawford is a professor at Cardozo Law School. She says we assumed competition would force the carriers to provide reliable service.
We assumed that cable would compete with phone would compete with wireless, and that therefore we didn't need to have this whole superstructure of regulation. It turns out that we were wrong.
And these problems are growing as more and more people cut their landlines. Right now, over a third of households rely solely on cell phones, including Crawford's.
I'm speaking to you on a cell phone because I don't have a landline at home.
After Hurricane Katrina, the FCC did try to mandate that each cell phone tower have backup power. But the carriers challenged that rule in court, and it was rolled back.
Typically, a battery will give about 4 to 6 hours additional power to a cell site.
Crystal Davis does crisis communication for Sprint Nextel, the only major carrier who agreed to be interviewed about Sandy.
In terms of a permanent generator, that can give you an extra day or two.
Problem is, in some places after Sandy, the power was out for weeks. Jamie Barnett is the former chief of the FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau. He says, backup power aside, there's a bigger issue here. As many calls move from copper wires onto the internet, Barnett says the FCC's role is in question.
The carriers have questioned whether or not the FCC has authority over broadband, basically internet-based communications. Well, that's the way that all communications are moving.
Barnett says most calls these days, landline and cell, will at some point be processed through the internet. So he thinks limiting the FCC's authority over broadband would be a big deal. And it could mean a lot more. Can you hear me now? For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samuelson in New York.